Tomorrow, the European Court of Human Rights is expected to rule on a case involving terrorism suspects held in Britain. The U.S. wants them extradited. The case has renewed debate in the U.K. about how that country works with the U.S. on cross-border terrorism cases. From London, Vicky Barker tells us about the debate and the imprisoned man at the center of it.
It is an offence to enter this establishment with a mobile phone.
The BBC went to court to overturn a British government ban on interviewing prison inmate Babar Ahmed. Britain's longest-held prisoner never to have been tried.
Good morning, Dominic. How are you? You all right?
Take a seat.
Reporter Dominic Casciani sat down with Ahmed at Longlarton Prison.
I've been in prison now for nearly 8 years without trial. I'm facing extradition to the US and the rest of my life in solitary confinement. I've never been questioned about the allegations against me. I've never been shown the evidence against me.
Among other things, U.S. prosecutors accuse Ahmed of leading a terror support cell from his South London home, channeling funds to jihadist groups and creating one of the first and most influential of the Islamist extremist websites.
The one who tasted the sweetness of jihad.
Posts to the now-defunct Azam.com included some of the first footage of suicide bombings, of Afghan mujahideen machine-gunning a captive Russian soldier, as accompanying music glorified jihad. The U.S. claims jurisdiction because the British-based site used an American service provider. They say this is exactly the kind of cross-border terror case the fast-track extradition treaty between the U.S. and the U.K. was created for in the days after 9/11. Yet all of what Ahmed's accused of are crimes here, too. So why, his supporters ask, did a British judge decide there were insufficient grounds to try him? Ahmed claims most of the evidence gathered at his arrest went straight to the U.S. British prosecutors now say they only saw a fraction of it. Britain's only Green Party lawmaker Caroline Lucas has called for a public inquiry.
I would love to know exactly what happened to the evidence that they collected, how much of it went directly to the United States, why. I think there's a whole grey area here, very, very murky, and we need to get to the bottom of it.
140,000 people have signed a petition supporting Ahmed's case, and more than 100 lawyers here have called for Parliament to debate his extradition. Dominic Raab is a lawmaker with Britain's governing Conservative Party.
When you've got a cross-border case, that ought to be decided not by haggling prosecutors behind closed door, but by in open court according to legal principles set by the UK Parliament.
Ahmed himself admits he fought for the Muslim cause in Bosnia in the early 1990s and supports the freedom struggle in Chechnya. But he denies any connection to al-Qaeda and condemns, he says, terror attacks on civilians. If he violated UK law, he says, the UK should try him here and now.
In a way, it's like living on death row. It's like you're living every day for a tomorrow that might or might never come. Detention without trial is the most unimaginable type of psychological torture that anyone could think of.
One of the other five men fighting extradition has suffered a mental breakdown since his detention and is now in Broadmoor, the institution for the criminally insane. If the European Court of Human Rights agrees that Ahmed and the others would face torture or inhumane or degrading treatment in a U.S. maximum security prison, then British officials would effectively be forced to try them in the U.K. For NPR News, I'm Vicky Barker in London.